Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new art project, One and Other. The date today is the 14th of July 2009, and if I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
I'm Roger Noel Tabor. I was born on the 21st of the 12th, 1945, and I'm from London.
And how are you today?
Nervous.
And you were about to go and stand on the fourth plinth at Trafalgar Square. What was it that made you want to do this in the first place?
Well, I write poetry which attempts to reflect contemporary society as I see it. And it seems to me that that is what the project is all about. I mean, and also, I think, it will reflect the wholly diverse population of the UK, and perhaps remind people who tend to forget that we're all part of a common humanity.
Absolutely. And so what are you going to do on the plinth today?
I'm going to read a selection of my poems.
Brilliant. And how long have you been writing poetry?
Well, the first poem I wrote was in my school magazine when I was 11. But I haven't been writing poetry seriously, really, in adult life until around about 1993, when some poems of mine were published in an anthology, and that encouraged me to continue writing.
Fantastic. And what inspired you to write poetry?
I'm partially deaf, and I have a problem with communicating with people in large groups. So I can't engage with people quite the way I'd like to, because basically I'm quite a social animal. And writing, poetry and fiction, sort of the writing engages with people for me. And as for inspiration, I mean, you see it all around you. I've written poems about chairs and puddles, and I've written poems about love and philosophy, and in the course of the last 6 or 7 years I've been invited to give poetry readings in places all over the UK, and I often write poems rather than taking photographs of the places where I read. For me, sort of writing a poem is a better souvenir than a photograph.
And are there any of your poems that you would maybe like to read now, if you can remember any of them off by heart?
Oh, I've written over 1,000 poems, and about half of those have probably been published in poetry publications other than my own collections. And as I get older, I have a memory like a sieve, and I always have to sort of read from printouts or from the from books in the collection. I can never remember anything off by heart, I'm afraid. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm sure we'll hear you today on the plinth. Yeah. And who are you doing this for, would you say, standing on the plinth today and being part of One Another?
I'm doing it for me, but I'm also doing it for people who have problems living in the world as it is today. Very often people will send me an email about a poem they might have read on the blog about depression or about the problems of being gay. And society today faces all kinds of problems, but now in the middle of a credit crunch. And some people are despairing, and I try to encourage them to think positively. Many years ago I had a bad nervous breakdown, and from time to time I do suffer bouts of depression. But when I'm writing about depression, I try to end the poem on a high note. So while I'm writing the poem, I'm starting to feel better, and hopefully the person reading it will start to feel better as well. And apart from that, I want to give people an appreciation of nature and and all the good things in life.
Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself personally, and you describe, maybe paint a picture of you as a person for me?
Well, I've had problems with depression a lot of my life. I mean, childhood depression was never recognised when I was growing up. And being partially deaf, it's an invisible disability. People they can't see it, so even if you tell them about it, they forget. But as a child, I didn't have the experience or the articulation to even realise that I was partially deaf. I knew I had a problem. I had to develop a sense of humour because I didn't understand why I was always getting the wrong end of the stick. And I had a terrible relationship with my father, which is another thing that drove me to writing. It was a kind of escapism. And then in my early teens, I realised that I'm gay. And of course, in those days, it was still a criminal offence. So I had to deal with that on my own. And when I'm writing, I'm aware that lots of people are alone in the world. And I think sort of reading and writing about positive things sort of helps you feel a bit better. And, you know, sometimes people email me about sort of the problems they're having about coming out. And I try to be encouraging and, you know, recommend support centres. There was none of that in my day. And as far as the gay issue is concerned, latterly it become a great concern to me that it's very, very difficult for people, gay people, especially young people, in a multicultural society. They're living in a Western society, but they are tied to a culture which is as hostile in many respects to gay relationships as it ever was. Now, it's difficult enough for me sort of being criminalised as a young person. But if your culture of origin is anti-gay and you are gay, because the culture of origin is so tied up with the whole family ethic, these people are feeling that they've got to choose between their sexuality and their family, which is a choice no one should have to make. Now, I describe myself on the one another side as an integrationist, and I'm totally in favour of multiculturalism. I think it's brilliant. But this is just one of many ways in which I feel it's simply not working.
How do you feel about the civil partnership?
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I went to a civil partnership on Saturday. I'd known the couple concerned for many years. They've been together for about 8 years. And it was a wonderful occasion. It was a wonderful family occasion. Sort of the mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the sisters and the godchildren, they were all there. And they had a brilliant registrar. And it was a very moving occasion. And, you know, I think it's brilliant for gay men and women to be able to tie the knot and declare their love for each other publicly. And from a practical point of view, I mean, sort of, it's also good that it's legally binding. There was a time, for example, that if, for example, you lived in a council flat and the flat was in one person's name and that person died, whereas if you were straight, the partner automatically could continue the tenancy. If you were gay, you got thrown out within 2 weeks. And, you know, apart from anything else, I mean, civil partnerships put an end to that.
That's right. And so can you tell me, you're a poet. What did you do for a living before that?
I'm a librarian. Yeah. Mm. I started off hoping that I could teach, but it was wishful thinking. The sort of the hearing problem was too much of a handicap to overcome. But I've always worked in public libraries because I do like working with people. And mostly it wasn't a problem, because when you're on an inquiry desk or library counter, you're dealing with people on a one-to-one basis. And I lip read a lot. I probably couldn't do it if someone asked me to it, but I do it sort of unconsciously. I always had to tell staff that to remember that if they wanted to draw my attention to something, they need to sort of be facing me. It's a problem in this country. I used to say to people, you know, if you're talking to me and my back is turned, I won't hear a word. Just tap me on the shoulder or come round to the front. But the English aren't very tactile, and people don't like tapping you on the shoulder. And no matter how many times you tell people, you know, you have a hearing problem, as I said earlier, because it's an invisible disability, they forget. And my mother wanted me to tuck myself away in an office where it wouldn't matter, but I didn't want to do that. And so it was a bit of a challenge, but I quite enjoyed it.
And have you got any hopes or fears or expectations about going on the plinth today?
Well, I don't have a great head for heights, but I don't think that will bother me because of the way the safety net is set out, so I'm not worried about that. I suppose if I were younger, I might have hoped someone might hear and enjoy some of my poems and perhaps even sort of, you know, put me in touch with a publisher or something, I don't know. I've always had to self-publish my collections because I always include a gay section, and it's sort of frowned upon in poetry circles, even though I'm sure most people would deny that. So now, you know, I'm in my 60s now, and I'm a happy bunny, and I'm just pleased to be taking part in the project. And that's it for me, really. I don't really have any expectations from it.
Yeah. And what does it mean to you personally?
Oh, it means a lot. Because I'm being a part of something that I've been passionate about myself for a very long time. I mean, it's not just thinking, oh, it's a brilliant idea, which it is. I mean, it's putting into practice. I'm being a part of something that I've written about and felt about strongly for years. And I just feel that sort of it's an opportunity to be me in public, perhaps even more than I've ever been because of the wide audience. So it is a big thing for me because I'll be 64 later this year. And you never know what's around the corner. And it's great to have done it.
Fabulous. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.